Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross, I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. And this week's topic is culinary herbs. With me is Master Gardener and Chef Extraordinaire Amelia Lacey. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Ross. I'm excited to be here and excited to be talking about herbs and also about this culinary flavoring that I can add to our gardens as well as to our kitchens and maybe to our tables if they get that far.
Absolutely.
A lot of it is experimentation, so we'll see.
Yes. So you're on a quest to provide more types of herbs for the Master Gardener plant sale, especially ones that aren't as easily available from, say, big box grocery stores.
Correct.
How did you get started on this quest?
Well, it started like everything. When you want to have something and you can't get it, right?
Yes.
So it started with a very innocent question, and that question was from a shopper at our Master Gardener sale. She said to me, "Do you have epazote?" And I said, "Epazote? Oh, that sounds wonderful, whatever it is." Of course, we didn't have it. We had basil, lots of basil, thyme, parsley, we had chives, we had all the usual culinary herbs that you find in an ordinary kitchen, but we didn't have anything that sounded so romantic as epazote. So I asked her, "What? Tell me about this. How would you use it? And where can you find it?" She said, "Well, I'm from Mexico, and we cook our beans in it, and it helps. It helps with the gas. Helps with the digestion." So that's what got me started. And I didn't know where to start. Of course, Google is the answer for now. I looked that up. So I found it online. And I got it from Mom's Seeds, which is a very small operation. The seeds, I have to tell you, are very tiny. They're tiny black. They look almost like poppy seeds, but an afterthought of a poppy seed, you know? When people talk about growing epazote, they say, "Oh, it grows so fast and it grows so well." And yes, it does. But it has to have very high temperatures to begin with. And that's because it grows in the area along the equatorial line where it's warmer. Got good moist soil and can take also drought, and very fast, it's 3 to 4 feet very easily.
Wow.
And sends up a flower, which is sort of like, I can equate that to goldenrod. Then there were other things that I thought, well, since I'm at it, let me try to get lemongrass, because I like to cook with lemongrass. And a lot of Hispanics I found like to cook with lemongrass because it adds a citral, a lemony flavor. They also like to put it in tea. Mm-hmm. It's a lot less expensive than a lemon. It lasts longer and it gives it same essence.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course there's all of these Thai basils. And some of my friends grew Thai basil, so we got all of the different varieties, you know. And I found one this year, which is mildew resistant.
Ooh.
Downy mildew resistant, right? And I've read a lot of research on that about all the different scientists trying to get basil from going to mildew, because it does easily under certain conditions. But one thing I found in my research was that in the 1980s, all of these great herbs that we can find at our big box stores and at our nurseries weren't available. They weren't available at the markets either. Like, we can buy little packages of basil and dill and chevrel and all of those other things, but they weren't available. You had to have grown them. So there was a market for it, and people started demanding the use of fresh herbs when they found all of these chefs publishing books and later getting on TV, dicing up all of these herbs and throwing them in their pots and on top of their roast and garnishing all of their dishes, sometimes with flowers and sometimes with herbs, sometimes with seeds. And it just looks so wonderful. So it was through the use of media that introduced a lot of people to this culinary experience of using fresh herbs. Hmm. So I wanted to duplicate that. I wanted to introduce more people to growing herbs and also to help them expand their culinary taste, because, you know, a lot of people, they love to eat. We all love to eat, and we like to experience and have different types of food flavors, but we just don't know how to approach it. You know, we can read a cookbook, but wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just snap a leaf off of a fresh growing herb and pop it in our mouth and say, So that's how I got started.
Mm-hmm. So what types of herbs are you particularly focused on providing for the plant sale?
Well, you know, I have a list. And I'm growing quite a few. Mm-hmm. I'm growing lemongrass, I told you about. And Thai Thai basil, which is that special basil that is not going to give us any downy mildew. Then Thai Siam basil. And the new one that I'm doing that I've never done before is called North Red Chinese Toon. Now that's T-O-O-N. It is a red and green colored leaf that is used from a very large 25 to 30 foot tree.
Oh my.
But of course you prune it and you would keep the growth down, and you would use these red and green leaves for flavor. As a matter of fact, they taste like beef and onion. In fact, they're called the beef and onion vegetable. Then I'm growing anise, garlic chives, and shisu, which is a Japanese herb. And that's used on sushi and on pasta-like salads or Japanese noodle salads. Then on the Hispanic side, because many of these herbs that I'm going to mention are cross-cultural, they're used in many different cuisines, Middle Eastern cuisine, the Mediterranean cuisine, even some African cuisines. And this is epazote, cumin, spearmint, which is a substitute for yerba buena. And of course, lemongrass again is used in Mexican cooking. Anise, garlic chives, also used in Asian cooking. Mexican tarragon, which is a good substitute for French tarragon, except it's in the marigold family, so it's Mexican marigold. But it's used as tarragon. And then Mexican oregano, which is different from the Italian oregano. And then cilantro, which is used among different cultures, many different. And then I'm also growing French thyme, which is going to be different from German winter thyme, and bronze fennel.
That's quite a list.
I know. See what I mean? It's exceeded my space.
Okay, so how does the general climate of Lincoln County shape what herbs you're selecting to grow?
Yes, it's a limitation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We don't live in the tropics.
We don't. The limitation is that we don't have enough heat, we don't have enough sun, we don't have longer growing periods. So what we have to do is grow some of these warmer zonal required plants under lights with heat mats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that, of course, makes things more expensive. But then, of course, we appreciate them more too, right? Now, we talk about the difference between spices and herbs. And herbs are the greeny herbaceous parts. And the spices is a collective term for both bark, seed, stems, all of those sorts of things, but they can be used interchangeably. I am just growing herbaceous herbs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Would you give us some fun herb facts just to close us off?
Yes, I have a few of them here.
A multitude?
No, just a few I want to share with you. First of all, Ross, did you know that the origin of the word herb, H-E-R-B, comes from the Latin, which is herba, E-R-B-A. And you know what that means? Mm-hmm. It means green stalks, grass, or blades. Interesting,
delightful.
Huh? Do you know that basil has a past? It's a very checkered past. Yes, it was once used in Egyptian embalming.
Ah.
And it was rumored in medieval times to ward off evil spirits. Basil is also a member of the mint family and native to India. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. You knew that. Good. The pizza herb. You know what that is. The pizza herb is oregano, and that means joy on the mountain.
Oh,
so
charming.
Isn't that a nice thing to think about when you're eating pizza?
So when will our lovely listeners be able to buy some of these herbs that you're growing for them?
Yes. Well, we are having our wonderful plant sale on the 16th of May, and I want as many people as possible to come out and see what we have. We have joy on the mountain, oregano. We have basil, which has a checkered past. We also have epazote that has been coddled through starting on February the 1st.
Wow.
With germination, you know, just pushing that zonal denial, that heat map for Newport. And so we have a lot of herbs that we want to have available for our buyers and our supporters. Mm-hmm. And it's all a matter of sharing what we love to grow, which is growing plants, feeding our families and friends, and sharing around the table. So come out on May the 16th. Bring all of your friends too. It's going to be such fun. So many happy faces asking for red Chinese northern toon.
Thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome. My pleasure. So happy to be here with you.
It's well into the time of year to think about starting seeds for transplanting outdoors. Let's talk about brassicas today, and in particular the species Brassica oleracea, from which abundant cool season vegetables have been created. This species includes cabbage, kale, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, kohlrabi, and collard greens, just to name a few. Some can take a long time to reach harvestable maturity, so starting early gets a jump on that long growing cycle. You can start many brassica seeds indoors, ideally on a heating mat, right now, and seed packets will have information about when to start the specific cultivar you want to grow. It generally takes up to a month for brassica seedlings to be ready for transplanting outdoors, and seedlings will need to be gently acclimated to outdoor temperatures in a process called hardening off. Brassicas grow as heavy feeders, meaning they utilize and require fertile soil and with a lot of available nutrients. You can mix compost into the soil right before you put brassicas into the ground to help boost their success, and consider growing lighter feeding plants after brassicas are harvested, or even nitrogen-fixing plants like beans or peas to help rebuild nutrient availability in the soil. For a specific list of cultivars that do best on the Central Oregon coast, see the OSU publication on the topic by searching for the best vegetables to grow in Oregon's coastal climate, or looking up the OSU catalog number EM9499. We'll have the link in the blog post for this episode on the LCMGA website mentioned at the end of this broadcast. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!